Hello, welcome to Tay to Z, where we chat about every Taylor Swift song in alphabetical order. I'm Devin.
And I'm Gab, and we will be your hosts on this journey. In our last episode, we talked about So It Goes from Reputation.
So it goes! So good.
Hmm.
Well, but today we are discussing the song Soon You'll Get Better, featuring The Chicks from Lover.
A warning for today's episode, we will be discussing cancer, specifically breast, brain, kidney, and skin cancer, as well as parent illness, stroke, and friend loss. So we totally understand if you aren't in a place to listen to this episode today, or even ever. So, yeah, you know, listen if you're up for it.
Yeah, for sure. Soon You'll Get Better is the 12th track on Lover.
Lover was released on August 23rd, 2019, and this song was co-written by our guy, Jack Antonoff.
Our guy. Soon You'll Get Better has only been performed live once. Taylor performed it for the One World Together at Home in April of 2020.
Yes, which was put together for raising money for healthcare workers right at the start of the lockdown and pandemic.
Right at the start.
Yeah, we didn't even watch this because this time was like the height at the beginning and Queens was not a good place.
Not a good spot.
So we weren't really watching like stuff talking about the pandemic, I feel like.
No, we tried to drown it out as much as we could.
Yeah, other than like our New York governor briefings, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
To know what was going on.
Yeah.
It wasn't something on our radar.
No, I didn't even know it existed.
Yeah. I found it interesting that we had both had never seen it. And then I looked at the date and I was like, yep.
Oh, that makes sense.
We were watching, I think I was watching Mary-Kate and Ashley movies. Yeah,
doing
puzzles, anything childhood related. Yeah.
Just playing video games, just trying to just, yeah.
Yeah, disassociate. Animal Crossing, but not the new Animal Crossing, the old one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The GameCube one, yeah.
So Devin,
mm-hmm.
What do you think about Soon You'll Get Better?
I think that this song has to be the one I've listened to the least on Lover. Not because I don't like it, but because it's pretty challenging and hard to listen to.
Yeah.
Firstly, you know, when the album came out and knowing about the struggle for Andrea Swift and the reason behind the song, I mean, that was just super tough to know that Taylor had been struggling with this and had decided to write this song because of it. And then I got to experience this sort of pain and struggle firsthand, which I will talk about in the relate to. So it wasn't really one that I was like, oh yeah, I totally just want to listen to this song today.
Mm.
This is definitely a mood I'm in. I'm never in this mood.
Mm.
Thankfully, I never seek this out, even though I know that it can give comfort
too,
but I never look for it. And actually when it comes on shuffle, I tend to skip over it too. Just because of...
It brings up a lot for you.
Yeah, it brings up a lot, and it also just brings me kind of down.
Mm.
I love the simplicity of the production of this song. The guitars throughout the first verse are really beautiful. That melody that the guitar has at the very beginning
mm-hmm.
is really pretty. They then add in a banjo for the chorus when the chicks come in
mm-hmm.
For their harmonies, and their harmonies add so much to this song.
Mm-hmm.
So much beauty. The lyrics, of course, are pretty heart-wrenching, and you know as a listener that this is a first-hand account of Taylor's, and that's pretty devastating, knowing that she's gone through this, but then it also kind of makes it easier in a way, too, because if you've gone through something like this, knowing that she can relate
mm-hmm.
and that she relates to you and you can relate to her, again, just makes her music so powerful,
and especially comfort.
Yeah, especially for this song. The emotion in Taylor's voice is palpable.
Mm.
She sings this with such pain and fear. You can hear the fear in her voice, which is stunning. And the bridge is just so moving, and the chicks' harmonies here are so beautiful, especially on the If There's No You,
mm-hmm.
where the music cuts out and it's just them singing and it's just their harmonies.
Yeah.
It's just really beautiful. What a moment. And then the final time through the chorus, that sigh is just like so heartbreaking.
Mm.
Oh my God, it's so, yeah. And you know, just what a gorgeous song, an important song, obviously, for Taylor and to Taylor and for her mom. And I am sure that this is a very important song for a lot of people
yeah.
who have dealt with cancer, and quickly mentioning the version she performed for the One World special, just wow, like so powerful and heartbreaking. And I just watched it for the first time today and it just brought me right back to spring 2020.
Yeah.
And the fact that she wrote this about her mom and her struggle with cancer, and yet it fully was able to be put into the context of the pandemic,
yeah,
and what was going on, mm-hmm, then, and just, you know, not being able to be with your loved ones in a hospital and them having to be all alone,
yeah,
and everyone being all alone and thinking just soon you'll get better because you have to.
Yeah.
And I mean, at that point, we really didn't know if things would get better.
Yeah, well, and for a lot of people, sadly, it didn't.
Yeah, it didn't. Yeah.
You know, over a million people.
Yeah.
Plus more worldwide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her singing this song right at the beginning of it, when we didn't even know the devastation that it was going to
yeah,
lead, like, pretty tough, pretty
yeah,
rough. And, you know, just the fact that it resonates there so deeply and in this performance of it, like, it's so raw, and she looks like she's on the verge of tears the entire time.
Yeah.
I started crying watching it. So, yeah, this song packs a lot.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see this song performed live again unless it's for some kind of charity-type mm-hmm, awareness thing.
Yeah.
To raise money for a good cause.
Yeah, and I think that's okay.
Yeah.
For her to have songs like this.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, she needed to write it, yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
And it, yeah, thank goodness she did, so.
Yeah.
Gab, what do you think of Soon You'll Get Better?
For me, I think that this is the saddest Taylor song. Like, even as we're talking about things here, I'm, like, feeling a little bit, like,
mm-hmm,
emotional. I also, though, really love this song. I think that, like, I think the tone of Taylor's voice, the way she sings the lyrics, the emotion, all of it, like, I think I listen to it more than the average person. It is extremely heartbreaking, but there is hope and soothing to it almost.
Yeah.
But it's not one that, like, I play on repeat necessarily.
Yeah.
Because, like, sadness, I think I've talked about on this podcast before, is, like, one of my harder emotions, I think, to grapple with. I don't love to sit there, which, you know, is an interesting thing. So I think that this song kind of does definitely put me into that emotional mood. And I don't always need a lot of help to feel emotional. So I don't listen to it a ton. But I really love, like, the simple stripped back production, mm-hmm, to it. And just, you know, Taylor with the guitar and the banjo and the harmonies. I love the melody of the guitar or the piano. If she's playing on the piano, I think it's really beautiful. You know, we talked about this on other Taylor songs, but the lyrics here are so specific and heartbreaking and yet totally universal if you've been through any sort of, like, serious medical issue with someone you love.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, so relatable. Like, just the feelings of, you know, feeling delusional, like, not being able to accept it, being scared but not willing to show your loved one that you're also scared. Like, all of those emotions are so real and relatable.
Yeah.
You really feel Taylor's emotions throughout this song. It's so powerful. It's real. Like, you know, when you're listening to this is personal. Like, you can't make up emotions like that.
Yeah, for sure.
I think the harmonies with the chicks are just super beautiful. I think they're soothing. Like, these other people are coming in to sing the You'll Get Better parts.
Mm-hmm.
I really love the chorus. It's this, like, healing mantra. And I think the line, "You'll get better soon because you have to," is just so emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, it's been years of hoping, and I keep saying it because I have to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's putting all her hope, her helplessness, her faith, her feelings, everything into this song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, she's saying this, she's saying it, singing it, she's saying she's gonna get better because she has to. There's, like, she can't do anything else but just say, like, you are going to get better.
Yeah.
And I think all of that is really relatable, that desperation, that desire, that hope, that wanting to be optimistic when you're not feeling it. And then I think the lyric that, like, hits me the most is, "I hate to make this all about me, but who am I supposed to talk to? What am I supposed to do if there's no you?"
Mm-hmm.
It's really heartbreaking, and it often makes me choked up whenever I, like, think about it a little too closely.
Yeah.
I think about that level of loss and, like, that person who, like, is your person that you talked everything mm-hmm. about, you know? And for Taylor here, it's her mom. I just think it's a really beautiful song, and I'm really glad that Taylor put it out into the world. You guys will hear later in Swiftie Spotlight, but, like, we know it's helped people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important. And for music to be able to speak to people and help people connect or feel that they're not alone, I think that's everything.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting that, you know, with the chicks being on this record, that it really does bring in, like, kind of like a hope with their voices. Mm-hmm. You just feel it and you hear it in their harmonies and the beauty of the harmony.
Yeah.
That they do. They bring this extra just hopeful energy to the song. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to really describe. I think that's the best way I can describe
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful. And what we didn't touch on was the line that that people find faith, and so now I believe in Jesus.
Yeah, because that's
too.
My favorite lyric.
Oh,
so that's why I didn't touch upon
it. Oh, okay.
But,
okay, but that's just very interesting because even on Lover, she talks about all sorts of different faith
yeah.
and how love is her faith and how your body can be, you know, mm-hmm. your church or whatever. And to come back to potentially her roots growing up
yeah.
with Christianity.
Faith and Christianity
and
yeah.
yeah. Because when you're desperate, you look
for
to
solace.
Everything.
Yeah.
You know, you look for all of the different
comfort,
answers.
Yeah.
And I think that that's very interesting that she specifically put that in here
mm-hmm.
because obviously faith helps so many people
yeah.
through difficult times too.
Yeah.
Just thought that was interesting.
Yeah. Devin, how do you relate to this song?
So yeah, I find myself, well, both of us now, we find ourselves relating to this pretty easily. My mom was diagnosed with breast cancer in summer of 2021, right before our wedding. And she didn't really want the diagnosis to impact our day, so we didn't really tell a lot of people about it until after the wedding
mm-hmm.
in September. And she was scheduled to have her surgery at the beginning of November. And, like, luckily, we got super lucky. She found it herself, and it was this itty-bitty tiny tumor, I think even pre-stage zero. And they were able to do surgery, and they only had to do radiation on her and no chemo, thank God. And, you know, 2 years later, she is fully cancer-free, almost 2 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And she's doing really good, and she's gone through physical therapy, and she, you know, like, is healthy, and it's amazing. And boy, those weeks and months leading up to the surgery and then recovery, like, it was really scary.
Yeah, yeah.
It was really, really hard, and you just don't know, like,
yeah.
especially after a surgery like that, like, does it come back? Will it come back? Did mm-hmm. they get all of it? Will she have to do chemo? Will she not? Like, all of those things. And, you know, we got lucky. And there are a lot of people who have not been so fortunate to
yeah.
have those circumstances. And obviously, like, it was so hard for my mom. It was hard for my dad. You know, I had to be there, you know, for the first month of recovery and being strong for my parents. And helping around the house and helping her, you know, change herself and bathe and shower and mm-hmm. all of that. Like, it was hard.
Yeah.
And yet you're the lucky ones that, you know, got it caught early. And it's just like that cancer sucks.
Yeah.
Like, cancer sucks so, so bad. And I don't know anymore if there's a single person in the world who hasn't been directly or indirectly affected by cancer. It's just...
Yeah.
It's everywhere. You hear every day about friends, parents, about friends, about... It's just so sad every single time. And it just makes you angry every single time that you hear about someone else.
Yeah.
You know? And this song just really brings out all of those feelings that you feel during that time.
Yeah, totally.
Being in a cold hospital and, you know, being there with your mom and trying to be strong for her and mm-hmm. not show your fear, but we're good
mm-hmm.
and she's good and she's cancer free. And that is an absolute miracle and so lucky. Yeah. Anyway, so relatable for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
And Gab, you relate too.
Yes. I think, like, the saddest thing about this song is how many of us can so closely relate to it.
Yeah.
As much as you know people have been touched by cancer, there's nothing that can prepare you for, like, finding out someone really close to you has it, or finding out your parent has it, like, for the first time, like, that confirmation is just, like, it wallops you, and it's devastating, and you're like, how is this happening? Like, you know that so many people have it, and you've know different people in your life, but, like, when it happens to you, like, very closely, it's just, like, yeah, I just remember that day that I, like, didn't go to work, or I went to work late, I went to your apartment, we weren't even living together. I was, like, sobbing at your apartment. This kind of sounds, like, a little insane to say all at once in a sentence, but, like, it's all, like, true. In 2018, my dad was diagnosed with melanoma, which is skin cancer. He had a stroke, and then he had a kidney removed due to a cancerous tumor on it. That all happened in the same year. There was also an appendix removed, which is how we found the kidney, but it's just a whole convoluted, long story. But, like, I think the craziest part is, like, how serious this all was. Like, it was all serious, and, like, how lucky we got to catch and remove it when we did, and how lucky my dad got that the cancer was contained only to the tumor on his kidney and the areas of melanoma, and that that all could be removed and hadn't spread yet. That's not common either. Like, had he not had the melanoma, which then unfortunately led to the stroke, he wouldn't have had the appendix pain that made that he was in the hospital that had him get scanned, where they also noticed there was a tumor on his kidney. You know, it would have all, it all was a chain reaction of really bad things, but because of them, they were able to find the really bad things and remove them.
Right.
You know, it could have been years till we knew about that tumor.
Yeah.
We're really lucky as well that, you know, 5 years later, his scans come up clear. Mm-hmm. That cancer didn't spread. The craziest part was the most serious part of all this was obviously the stroke.
Right.
Which is a brain bleed, or a lack of oxygen to the brain, for those of you who don't know. And it happens really fast, and there's varying levels of it in different people. We were also really lucky that he was able to recover from the stroke. And, you know, that recovery took years. And, like, he wasn't ever exactly the same after, but he managed to make, like, a pretty incredible recovery and, like, gain back his movement and his cognitive function. Like, a lot of people, that doesn't happen, and they don't get that second chance. And we are very, very aware of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we spent a lot of time in hospitals.
In 2018.
In 2018. Mm-hmm. It was literally just a year of
year
hospitals.
Of being in the hospital.
It was all spread out the entire year.
Yeah.
Like, truly from April to November.
Yeah.
And there's just, like, a lot of, like, it's going to be okay mantras that helped get us through. And that's kind of how I feel about, like, soon you'll get better. That idea of that as a mantra. How lucky. These are best case scenarios.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And that's not often the case. And it's...
Yeah, good old 2018.
It's, like, a lot. I think I blacked out a lot of that year.
But then we got engaged at the end of the year, and so...
Yeah, we added positivity. Ooh,
that made up for all of it.
Yeah, and at least we got 2019 as, like, a really boring year.
Before COVID. Yeah, it was great. Well, now we get to the segment of... Gossip.
As a lot of you know, and as we've kind of been alluding to, this song is about Taylor's mother, Andrea's cancer diagnosis and treatment. Andrea was first diagnosed with breast cancer in 2015, which Taylor shared with her fans on her Tumblr. Andrea wanted the fans to know why she would be at fewer shows during the 1989 tour. She had treatment and was in remission, and the cancer came back 4 years later. While she was receiving chemo for her breast cancer, the doctors also found a brain tumor, which is all discussed in the Miss Americana documentary.
Yeah.
Taylor also discussed this in her Elle article, 30 Things I Learned Before Turning 30.
Mm.
She said, I've had to learn how to handle serious illness in my family. Both of my parents have had cancer, and my mom is now fighting her battle with it again. It's taught me that there are real problems, and then there's everything else. My mom's cancer is a real problem. I used to be so anxious about daily ups and downs. I give all my worry, stress, and prayers to real problems now.
Mm.
Also, her saying both her parents, which we didn't know that about her dad. During a YouTube live stream just before her lover's release... Taylor shared that Soon You'll Get Better was the most emotionally difficult song to write, and she was unsure whether she wanted to include the song on the Lover album, and she asked her family, and they told her to put it on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. About opening up in this way, Taylor told Variety, Everyone loves their mom. Everyone's got an important mom, but for me, she's really the guiding force. Almost every decision I make, I talk to her about it first. So obviously, it was a really big deal to ever speak about her illness. Mm-hmm. Though we don't have any details about where Andrea is in her cancer journey, I believe that seeing her every night at the Eras Tour and her being at so many shows is a really good sign. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we really wish her the best health and continued health.
Absolutely.
As we mentioned before, the song's a collaboration with the Chicks. They were one of Taylor's favorite bands growing up. Their song Cowboy Take Me Away was one of the first songs that Taylor learned to play on the guitar. Hmm. In April 2015, Taylor invited Chicks lead singer Natalie Maines to be her special guest at the 1989 show in L.A., during which she said that the Chicks song Goodbye Earl used to be her go-to talent song show.
Oh, wow.
She said, "I've sung it probably 7,000 times in my life. If not for this woman and her band, I would not have known that you could be quirky, fun, be yourself, be outspoken, and brave and real. I wouldn't have when I was, you know, 9 years old, gotten my first CD. I wouldn't have dreamed the things that I dreamed, and I wouldn't be standing on this stage today."
Wow.
So they were very formative for her.
I love that.
Yeah.
Previously, the Dixie Chicks, if you didn't know that.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Name changed in 2020. The Chicks collaboration was hinted at in the Me music video.
Oh, yeah, right.
The beginning of the video features a picture of the Chicks among a wall with paintings of baby chickens wearing sunglasses. And it goes along with the lyric, "There's a lot of cool chicks out there."
Right.
So that was a fun little Easter egg for fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of cool chicks.
So funny. Devin, what's your favorite line in Soon You'll Get Better?
Okay, so I kind of like this line because it also feels like a musical theater reference to me.
Oh.
So this won't go back to normal if it ever was. Mm. I feel like that should be a line in Next to Normal.
Yeah.
In Next to Normal, there's the song where if we could be anything close to normal, that'd be okay.
Yeah. Well, next to normal.
Yeah. Anything next to normal. So I feel like that feels the same. And then that's so real because life after something like this, after an illness like this, mm-hmm. after a struggle and going through it, it's not the same. I don't think it will be normal. And then was it ever?
Yeah.
You know, like, was life ever
normal? Yeah, normal is
what is normal? Yeah, yeah, something next to normal would be okay. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I like that. And I ordered the idea of a new normal.
A new normal. Yeah. Gab, what is your favorite line?
So we talked about it before, but holy orange bottles, each night I pray to you. Desperate people find faith, so now I pray to Jesus too. I think it's a beautiful line.
Yeah.
Also, just like holy orange bottles, like talking about the medication that you're just like desperately hoping is going to work. I just like super relate to this idea of desperation, searching for anything. I wasn't raised with religion, but I definitely have some sort of spirituality and faith, and like hard times and needing to have some kind of solace or hope really lead to you finding that, or praying, and you don't even know how to pray or who to pray to. And
yeah,
it's just, there's a lot of like bargaining.
Yeah.
I think it's just very, very relatable. And like that, yeah, feeling that desperation, hoping that your loved one will be okay.
So this song, like Ronin and
Bigger Than the Whole Sky.
Bigger Than the Whole Sky. We are not going to be doing a rating for it because don't think that there needs to be one.
Yeah.
And I think that it is perfect the way that she wrote it.
You know, I hope that this song provides you with comfort, sadness, relatability, anything. Mm-hmm. You know, it's each of ours to take with it whatever we need.
Yeah, and it is absolutely one of those songs that speaks completely personally to you.
Yeah.
Which is unbelievable and just such a gift.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, now we get to the segment of Swiftie Spotlight. Well, for this week's Swiftie Spotlight, we have Brooke Redmond on the podcast. Welcome, welcome. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing pretty good.
Doing so good. Yeah. Welcome to the podcast and the Swiftie Spotlight. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you like to do for fun?
Yes, I am an attorney in Twin Falls, Idaho.
Wow.
I normally play out. I like to go anything outdoors, hiking, fishing, play with my, I have two little boys, so play with my boys.
Aww.
watch baseball, college basketball, and lately it's been making friendship bracelets.
Yes.
I don't quite know what to do with myself now.
I finished making my friendship bracelets because like we went and now I'm like, I would like to keep doing them. It was a good activity.
I know. I might still just keep making it for no good reason.
Yeah. And hand them out as, you know, you're walking down the street at the grocery store, just here, friendship bracelet.
I did that in Minnesota, actually. Every time I'd go out to eat after the show, with the tip, I'd leave a friendship bracelet, or like anybody I met got to just choose because I had so many left over.
Yeah. That's so cute.
That's so cute.
I love that.
Wow. And so you did. You just were at one of the concerts, correct?
Yes. Friday, the one in Minneapolis on the Friday the 23rd.
Oh my goodness. So you got Paper Rings. And what was the other song, the other surprise song?
If This Was a Movie.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Which so was good. Way deep cut. That took me, it took me a minute to even figure out what she was singing. It was amazing live. It was really good live.
So cool. Oh, awesome. Yeah. That was the night we were like, we have no way of knowing what she's going to play.
Oh, I thought I had her secret songs picked dead to rights, and I could not have been more wrong.
Oh, yeah. What did you pick?
So I thought she would either do Change or Only the Young because it was Pride Week in Minneapolis and it was the 1-year anniversary of overturning Roe.
Mm.
So I thought she might get political.
Yeah.
And then since it's so close to Wisconsin, I thought she'd either do Exile or Evermore with Justin Vernon.
Yeah.
Because conveniently his tour allegedly had stopped until July and he was available, but nope, completely wrong.
Yeah, we guessed Exile.
We thought he was
going to
be there too. Sure. And then we were looking at, I was trying to figure out where he was because someone's like, he might be in Europe. But I'm like, I don't think any of his dates are right now.
Yeah. And I was hearing rumors he was at both of the concerts, but I've never seen any photographic evidence of that. I don't know if that's just Twitter talk.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Could be.
I hope he does make an appearance.
Yeah, they need to play.
It depends though, like if they're touring, if he's in Europe.
Right.
Yeah, won't happen.
I don't know how this woman has the energy. I was exhausted for like 2 days after that show, and all I did was stand and sing.
Yeah, we had to recover.
And I could sit down when I needed to.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I'm in sneakers. I don't understand how she does the whole show in heels.
In heels, costume changes, running down the stage.
Yeah.
Like, insane. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. When did you first become a Swiftie? And do you remember the first Taylor Swift song that you heard?
Yes. And those are two very different answers. I first became a Swiftie, I'm going to say, in the Lover era.
Okay.
The first song I actually heard was Teardrops on My Guitar. I remember I was at a friend's house. We were playing games and music videos are on, and the music video came on and like I stopped as, who is this? I really like this, and I never thought about her again. So I don't listen to the radio anything, and then but I do get those Grammy CDs. They used to release CDs.
Yeah, I remember those.
I remember she was always had a song on and I always liked her, and my best friend in the entire world loved Taylor Swift and was trying to convince me to become a Swiftie, and I was like, look, I'm an old lady. I am not in her wheelhouse. I'm not her fan base. Her songs are fine. They're fine, but I don't need to be a Swiftie. Mm-hmm. And she kept sending me links and she was like, no, 22 is our song. Listen to it. It's us in college and all this stuff. And I always really enjoyed it. And she really got me to really become a fan during the 1989 Reputation. Literally as everyone else was dropping her, that's when I started to become a really big fan.
Mm-hmm.
Figure. But it was Lover. The first time I heard Soon You'll Get Better, because I'd heard that song about a week. I found out that this same best friend, her breast cancer was back.
Oh,
and I literally was in a drive-through restaurant ordering food. And I just stopped. Like, people had to start honking to get me to move.
Mm-hmm.
And it just hit me so hard. And then, you know, she unfortunately passed in May of 2020. Oh. And I would just listen to that song. Oh, I don't know why it brought me so much comfort, but it did. So that's the Lover era is when I would say I became really hardcore, and why I picked this song to talk about, because it's literally my favorite song and why I feel so bonded to her.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Wow. I mean, that's powerful.
Yeah.
What was your friend's name?
Rachel.
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 Yeah.
Mm.
Oh my goodness. And for this song to be there for you.
Yes.
Right when you needed it.
It was like, it was like, and I remember we both got the CD, or I don't even know if I did get the CD, or maybe I just downloaded it. Both did it on the same day. And I called her that night and I was like, It's an awesome album. Do not listen to track, whatever it is. Just don't. Mm. I'll take it, but I get it. But it will make you upset. So listen to the rest of the album. You have to skip that one. And I think she always did. I don't know if she ever listened to it.
Wow. So, I mean, I guess that answered why you wanted to be on this song.
Yeah.
And so going with that, like what, like deeper, I guess, what does Taylor's music in general mean to you? What does this song mean to you as well? Like,
well, this song, that line, and I hate to make this all about me, but who am I supposed to talk to? What am I supposed to do if there's no you?
Mm.
That resonated. I mean, I would joke with Rachel. Rachel and I had very dark senses of humor. And I would joke to her that I was really mad she was putting me through this. Mm. And I thought that was really rude. So that sort of on the playful side resonated. But then in reality, that really was like, how am I going to move on? And I felt that so deep. I mean, I felt every word of this song so deeply. I understood it in ways I'd never really felt a song. And then unfortunately she died in May of 2020, which of course was already such an awesome time for the world to be in.
Right. Yeah.
And so I maintain to this day that Folklore really saved me. Wow. Like it came out when I was in one of my darkest moments of my entire life. We're all isolated.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still working, but I'm doing it from home and I'm going to court from home and I don't see people and I'm just lonely. And then this CD came out of nowhere. And I think I listened to it nonstop until Evermore came out.
Yeah.
I don't think I listened to anything else. I don't know. There was not any song on there that resonated specifically to my situation, but it was just, there was something so universal and like, I don't know, very touching about that whole CD that was just her whole album.
Yeah.
I found comfort in. I remember I would jam to it when I was in a good mood. I'd lay on my bed and drink a glass of wine and sob to it when I was sad. But it was like that album I had on, I think my husband finally was like, you can listen to other things. They can even be Taylor, but you can listen to other music.
No.
But then Evermore came out. So I agree. But it was really Folklore that I'm convinced got me through that year. It was such a hard year. So that's when I became pretty hardcore and started listening. Then when he said, listen to other things, I said, okay, I will. And I went and downloaded all her other albums. And
there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. I mean, it's like became pretty hardcore attached to it. So
yeah, that album was very special. And like the way that I feel like it brought so many of us comfort during that time. Yeah.
It was all of our own ways. Yeah.
Yeah. That was just I always joke that it was my saving grace and got me through it.
Well, and I mean, that year, of course, was crazy as it was. And that album, again, like with when the song first came out for you, Soon You'll Get Better, that album was there for us exactly when we needed it. And it's like, how does Taylor keep doing that? Like, she's able to just... She knew. It's like she knew that her fans needed her to be there with us, and she needed to create. And that was her own catharsis, was to create her own music then in that album. And I mean, Folklore was when I got super hardcore with Taylor too. And that's how this podcast came about. Like that, I mean, it's an unbelievable album. And it's so cool to hear that it was such a comfort for you as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like hardcore Swifties are made when Taylor's music gets you through a tough time.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like when she's there for you, you're just a fan for life. Cause you're like, she was there for me. Like,
And I mean, I feel like I have to remind myself that we're not actually friends, that like, I feel like I do have that weird parasocial relationship that you read about with her. She does a very good job of developing those.
Yeah.
But I'm always like, you know, she probably doesn't actually know who you are. I'm sure she appreciates the money you've spent on her.
Yep.
But I do genuinely believe she cares deeply about her fans. And you can see it at the concerts.
Oh,
I mean, that's not an act.
No. No. And also just like the fact that she's leaving so much on the stage, giving so much, like no one else has a 44 song set with changing costumes and sets. Like it's insane.
Yeah.
And no breaks, like no intermission.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all worried about how we're going to go to the bathroom and everything. And I'm like, well, if this woman can do it, so can I.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So as of right now, what are your top 5 Taylor songs?
Okay, so this is really hard. The first 4 were really easy.
Okay.
And then I have like a 7-way tie for number 5.
Okay.
That's okay.
And most of it's happened because of the concert, because certain songs made me appreciate them more. So my 7-way tie for number 5 is Hits Different, You're Losing Me, Miss Americana, and The Heartbreak Prince, which has always been number 5. These others just got added to it.
Okay.
Paper Rings, and then Karma, which isn't even a song I like that much. But the live one just put it in a whole new perspective for me.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
The number 4 is Marjorie, which is another one that hits.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then number 3, The Last Great American Dynasty. I just love that
song. Oh, wow.
Love that song.
Love it.
And then 2 is All Too Well 10.
Of course.
That's another one I could listen to forever. And then number 1 is Soon You'll Get Better.
Yeah. Love that. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
And how cool is it to get to see The Last Great American Dynasty live, too?
When I found out that was on the set list, I literally can't even describe it. I did a full-on happy dance.
Yeah.
And I was like, and let it be the full song. That is one I spoiled for myself because I wanted to make sure it was the full song. And so the production on that one was so cool.
So cool.
So good. Oh. Like, just so beautifully imagined, all the, like, lighting and the colors and the dancing.
And my office, so I had a marvelous time ruining everything, is I think my favorite lyric written ever. I think it's so feminist. It's so disruptive. And I was telling a friend of that. And so for Christmas, she made me this beautiful like wall hanging that just says, I had a marvelous time ruining everything. And it's hanging in my office. And so when I'm on my Zoom, that's what people see.
That's awesome.
Love that.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's so awesome.
And that is, that's such a good line. I loved that little transition when she said, and then it was bought by me. And and Rebecca walks up and she goes, hey, what's up?
Yes.
It's me.
Yeah. And when she's like, the loudest woman this town's ever seen.
I know. It was just so incredible. It was so incredible. Yes. That's the first song on Folklore that I remember repeating a few times after I listened to it. Like, and usually I'll just listen all the way through, but that one, I got through it and I was like, I want to hear that again.
For sure.
Did you find during the Folklore and Evermore section, I found this, that I didn't realize how much I wanted to scream sing these songs in a giant stadium and how good they would be for scream singing until like we were there in the moment, you know?
Because
like
completely what I found.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think The One would be a scream sing song.
No.
Or My Tears Ricochet is not a scream sing song, but it was.
It was
cathartic and it was powerful.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And Evermore, I actually felt, was the most surprise, other than Champagne Problems, because everybody wanted to scream sing the line.
Yeah.
But I was really shocked about how cathartic it was. Tolerate it. And Marjorie, even, it's not a scream sing song, but it felt like so beautiful to just join her.
So beautiful. Yeah. It was so emotional, that
so
one.
So emotional.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys do we did the flashlight on the phone. Did you guys do that?
Yeah. It was so pretty. And like, just the whole, like, that she has, like, she talked about, you know, her grandmother's voice in the stadium, like that she would have loved to like perform in these stadiums. Like, oh, that got me so emotional. It's so cool.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, Brooke, thank you so, so much for being on Swiftie Spotlight. And thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
And also that she wanted you to be a Swiftie all these years and like that you're honoring her in that way. You know,
I feel like I am honoring her when I'm singing with Taylor. I always feel like Rachel's with me.
Yeah.
And like at the tour, she was with you there. Yes. Like, yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to share? Do you have a fan account that you'd like to plug, or
a dog account?
A dog account.
No, I don't have any accounts. I'm just a working mom who happens to love Taylor Swift and enjoyed listening to you guys. Thought it'd be fun to chat.
Yeah. Aww. So lovely to meet you. Like, really wonderful.
Yeah.
It was awesome to meet you guys too. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Listen along with us. You can check us out on Instagram at @TayToZPodcast and give us all your thoughts. You know, we're here. We're open if you want to share your stories or what the song makes you think about or relate to. You know, Devin and I might not have the right things to say, but we're here to listen.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, you know, we know this is a tough song for a lot of fans. And remember, you can find exclusive bonus content on our Patreon at patreon.com/TayToZPodcast.
Yes, and thank you to our patrons. As always, you are the absolute best. You let us keep doing what we're doing. Thank you. Well, next episode, we're going to be covering Sparks Fly from Speak Now Taylor's version.
What a week for Sparks Fly. Pretty exciting stuff coming up to be a Swiftie.
Yeehaw.
Come hang with us.
I'm Devin.
And I'm Gab.
This has been Tay to Z.
Thanks for listening. See you next time.